Welcome to another episode of Potions and Potpourri. Woo! This is a variety talk show podcast where we talk about lots of stuff that is related to D&D. We sometimes make things spur of the moment in our potions episodes. We have guests on for interviews, and we even do some live plays sometimes.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I'm Kayla.
And this is Keisha. Welcome again, everybody. To get us started, I wanted to do kind of a more personal, fun question.
Oh, goody.
So what are some exciting things happening in your life right now, Kayla?
Oh. Well, I guess the big news is that I'm a professional snowboarder.
Oh, man, you're, like, so famous now.
No, not really.
You gotta be.
For those of you that don't know or haven't been listening consistently, I really, really like to snowboard.
Understand.
We live in a place where it is very easy to go out multiple times a day, and I just like to be outside, and snowboarding is super fun. So I recently applied for an ambassadorship for a company, and just because I don't know how much I can talk about it, I'm not going to say the details. It's not a well-known company like Burton or something, so don't get too excited, but it is a new company that makes pretty specialized snowboards, and I'm going to get paid to make content for them.
Which is, like, everybody's dream,
yeah.
Is you to get paid to do something that you love.
I know, it's pretty cool. I'm curious to see how it's going to go. I definitely think the podcast has helped being able to, like, not that we talk into a camera, but just being able to talk into something.
Right.
And kind of make content for the masses or whatever. So that's been a pretty big deal. And then it's not super new, but, at the end of the summer, I got a promotion in my job, which has been going really well.
Yay!
And I've been really enjoying that. And I'm honestly just really looking forward to Christmas and winter to start and the ski season to start. Cause that's always my favorite time of the year anyways. So
yeah, I was going to say literally all of your favorite things basically are in winter.
Yeah.
Where you can snowboard and Christmas
yep.
is there cause you freak out over Christmas,
yep.
And it's so cute.
I am a whore for Christmas. I actually just reorganized, like, all of my holiday bin, which is mostly Christmas stuff, and I've got an entire box of Christmas clothes.
Yep.
So, like, leggings, shirts, hats. I'm even going to buy myself a Christmas onesie this year. It's going down.
Nice. Oh, man. That's excellent.
So what about you?
Well, my most exciting thing is that I have a snake.
Yay!
My first anything like that at all ever.
Because yeah,
I've literally only ever had cats.
A cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I've always kind of wanted a snake, kind of low key though, because literally everyone I tell that, hey, I have a snake now, they give me a look and they're like, what? You?
Yeah.
Why?
For real.
You yeah. were like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, but I don't know. They're just so cute. They're like the cutest little noodles. And
they are really
just,
cute.
Like, slither.
They're fun.
Meh.
We have a friend that has two, and we always hang out with them. You know, he'll bring them out and let us hold them and hang out with them and stuff. Have you decided which neighbor yet?
Oh, no, not yet. You have a good name for a snake, let me know.
Did you like the idea of Sveta?
That was so funny when you saw that. Yeah,
that's one of our UNT characters.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't really discovered her personality.
Right.
It's only been at the time of us recording this right now, not when we upload this, but she hasn't even been here for a week yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still learning. I'm still learning, hoping to get her the right setup and all that stuff. I just want to hold her. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I have to wait a little bit.
You'll get there.
Yeah, I'll get there. It'll be great.
And then you'll have her for like 20 years.
I know. That's the hope.
Longer than your cat.
No. Well, that's forever.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Clone wombat. Make her forever.
Yes. Always have a new wombat. She's the best. I guess I didn't get promoted, but I got a nice raise.
A fat raise.
That was pretty nice.
Hell yeah.
Which was, you know, well deserved and long time waiting.
It was.
Yeah. Oh man.
Make that money, girl.
Seriously. Oh my God. And I guess with my husband, we are more seriously tackling our photography.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get a website up, like officially up, maybe try to start selling our stuff. We have a small dream of working towards opening up our own gallery. So
that's awesome.
Thing that, yeah, we've been talking about it. And I mean, he takes astrophotography, and he's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I've got a huge print of his stuff in my house.
Yeah, it's awesome. And especially if we stay here because it's local, you know, so that should go well. And I have pictures of flowers, you know, it's for some people.
Are you guys doing your calendars again this year? No, too stressful.
It's already November. It might be too late for that. Usually, my husband, Shane, has been doing calendars of his work. But with, like, this year especially just being the way it's been, it's just been weird life-wise, you know? Just didn't really have time or energy or whatever to actually go out and take pictures. So we are a little bit behind on that. But with these projects of, like, actually editing some stuff and putting up that website and everything, I mean, that's going to take up a lot of time, too.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
I'll also have something to do during winter.
Yay!
So much editing. But... yeah, just a little glimpse into our lives. And
it's not all about D&D,
no,
or not.
Surprisingly, no.
And in fact, a lot of that is why we haven't been as up to date on recording and releasing as normal, because we've just got so overwhelmed with actual life shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Which wasn't really the case. We were just doing D&D all the time for like a long time.
For a long period.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad at all. It's just the way life is.
Yeah, things just shifted a little bit for us, and now we're back on the D&D train. Choo-choo!
Woo! All right, so slipping back into D&D gear. So the topic we're going to do today is just kind of a general topic about races. Basically starting with what they initially gave out for D&D 5e and how they grew that list, and also how they evolved how you can build your character and the options that you have. So that's, and kind of also our experience with what we play too and how and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
we have already made an episode about races and classes,
mm-hmm,
where we just kind of generally talked about the ones that we like, the ones that we've played and why, and it was, we didn't dive very deep into it. And so this one, we're going to kind of focus more on the races, but we're still not really going to go that deep. I think it's even going to be more of a focus on, like, Tasha's Cauldron of Everything book.
Right, like how they improved on it, how
yeah.
they changed it.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to start, obviously there's the core ones that came out.
So there's the 9 core races, which are human, half-elf, elf, dwarf.
No.
Gnome, halfling,
half orc. Did you say tiefling? Dragonborn's
Dragonborn and tiefling, and then one more
half elf. Orc. At some point, you hit them all. You might have said a couple twice. I don't remember.
And I say 9 of them though. But anyways,
sure.
You guys know.
Yeah. The classics, you know. That they have. And then, of course, one of the things that for the longest time has been a little controversial is like the specific traits and abilities and skills and everything that is tied to each one, you know. And that was kind of difficult when, at least for me, when choosing a race, because it's like, well, I want to be this one, but man, like, it's only plus this and
mm-hmm.
plus this, and I kind of want to be like this kind of a character where ideally it'd be if I had a different kind of ability plus. But yeah, originally they were all set. And I mean, this goes way back.
It does. And they've even, you know, like, dwarf used to be a class and not a race.
That's true.
You know, so it's changed a lot. It is really weird. And, you know, but then it's kind of just formed over the lore, like the history of the game. The lore has formed these kind of stereotypes
mm-hmm.
of the race, which kind of is like a big picture problem of just like racial stereotypes in general,
right?
Even though they're not really necessarily taking from real life races of people, but it has kind of developed the same like systemic problems of like elves are always pretentious or orcs are always dumb, so you couldn't
angry,
right? You couldn't have a dwarf that had a high intelligence,
right?
Or whatever it was. So,
like, only gnomes are super intelligent, and halflings are always happy and cheerful and
exactly.
carefree, and humans are just bland, because nobody wants to be what they are, and, you know, all that stuff. And then, of course, the ones where it's like, oh, the drow, like, oh, they're always evil
mm-hmm.
and terrible, and, you know, all of these darker creatures are just evil all the time, or evil aligned.
Yeah. And we're not really going to, like, get into the history of the game because it has its problems. if you would like, we could recommend you some other podcasts that talk about that, because there's some interesting theories on all of that,
yeah,
and facts as well. But, you know, Wizards of the Coast has tried recently to change the mechanics, but I think the biggest thing they did was release Tasha's Cauldron of Everything.
Right.
That, like, really changed the way that people could make their characters.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that, I mean, it just makes more sense, too. Because it's not, you shouldn't have, like, again, your skills and your abilities and everything strictly based off of what the character was born as.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that character is an individual.
Yeah.
And they're going to go off and do their own thing. They're going to have their own opinions. They're going to have their own views, you know, whatever. And they're going to stray from the norm. You know, most of them would. What even is the norm? We don't need a norm.
I think that's the biggest thing that Tasha's did for the game is that they made it easier to be an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to be a bard that's a dwarf,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you don't have to just have strength as your highest stat.
Right.
Like, here's why you would have charisma as your highest stat. And here's how you can make that happen to be in balance.
Yeah, because, like, if your character was the dwarf, you know, and they spent their life, like, learning music mm-hmm. and traveling around like that, it would make sense that, you know, maybe they actually do have a pretty high charisma.
Right.
You know, that kind of a thing, as opposed to just constitution and blood strength, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're not always just, like, blacksmiths.
Right.
Or, like, miners or whatever the trope dwarves are.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it kind of just, you know, they even, like, went further after Tasha's, like, recently with the drow. Mm-hmm. They made subclasses of the drow that have kind of fallen out of Loth's favor, and so these drow aren't always inherently evil, and they're not inherently slave owners and all of this stuff.
Right. They're not stuck with this whole idea of, like, oh, you know, they live underground and they all have this really crazy system that's just, like, very
And I think, like, it's just kind of given people the opportunity to not be so pigeonholed into one thing.
Exactly.
Like, if I'm going to play a tiefling, everybody's gonna be afraid of me and I'm gonna be kind of trending toward an evil alignment.
Right.
Like, no, maybe I am a tiefling politician.
Right.
That is, like, for the people, and everybody loves me. Like, who knows, you know?
Yep. And it's not to say that, like, I mean, if used carefully, you know, obviously there are some people who still like having, like, oh, you know, like, orcs and ogres and goblins, like, all of those nasty creatures are always, like, the bad guys and everything. Like, you need some kind of bad guy. But you can definitely evolve from that. It doesn't have to be so limited in that idea. It could be literally anything. It's just more of that person and their specific motives.
Right. Well, the way that the 5e races are written is kind of more, before Tasha's at least, it's kind of just like, here's the structure of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But now Tasha's is like, and everything that's come after it, I think, too, because it's really opened the door for changing things up. But now it's like, here is the basis for how a race would act, but obviously an individual isn't going to fall into a strict category every time.
Right.
So here's how you can make that work without losing out on valuable skill points.
Right, exactly.
Which was frustrating, you know? Like, if you wanted to be an orc, you'd have to be, like, dumb and strong. Mm-hmm. Or a Goliath would always have to be strong. And that wasn't fun for everybody. And so then I think people would trend towards picking a race that suited that class better. Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Would couple the two. And that's what made it hard, because you'd be like, well, I mean, I'm so fascinated by lizard folk, but I've always wanted to be a cleric.
Yep.
Is this a good mix? I don't really know. Like, you know, and it kind of forces you away from what you actually wanted to do and just trying to make things that, like, work together better or ideally and trying to build it, you know? So I like that they made it an option where you can change all of that. I'm sure that there have been people at the table that are like, you know, just screw, like, the abilities and all that stuff on there. You tell me what you want and I'll make it work. But it's also nice that the creators recognize this and are giving an official option.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say, though, that there are some things I really do like about the races being different. Like, obviously, like, with Tabaxi, they have claws. Uh-huh. They have fur, you know? Like, that's gonna come into play a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And, like, the tieflings have tails also.
And horns. Others.
And horns, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I like those kind of things that make those races a bit more unique.
Yeah.
But I like that more than, again, like, the abilities that you're stuck with.
Right. Well, so obviously there are the core races from 5e, and those have been expanded upon from the original versions.
Mm-hmm.
And then every other book has given us more races and or classes to work with.
Oh, there's so many.
And what's really interesting when I was looking it up is I didn't even realize where half of them came from. So an example is Bolo's Guide to Monsters gave us the Asimar, the Bugbear, the Firbolg, the Goblin, the Hobgoblin, the Kenku, the Kobold, the Lizardfolk, the Orc, the Tabaxi, the Trident, and the Yuan-Ti as playable races.
Yeah, that book was dope.
That is already an entire set of playable character races that equals what the player's handbook had. So you've already doubled your options.
Right.
And that was in one book, and that was before Tasha's even, you know?
Yeah.
And so that gave you more options, too. And those are, like, you know, obviously, like, a Goblin and a Bugbear were monsters that you were fighting
usually
against,
fighting.
And
yep.
Now you can be a hero or an enemy that has a personality that is that monster.
Right, like you could flip it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With that book, they were kind of taking that step towards, you know what? Like, maybe we don't have to restrict certain things to be in the monster category.
I mean, I would say, like, the Kobold is a good example. Like, they still don't get a lot of bonuses.
I know they have
without
negative.
Tasha's and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's kind of why that helps with that. Because, like, well, maybe I do want to be a kobold. And people wouldn't choose that because, yeah, you get negatives and stuff, and it wasn't that exciting, and they're not very
right.
smart. But you can kind of break out of that shell that's limiting you to what you should be, quote-unquote.
Right. Another thing kind of to think about, like, if you do choose to, like, stick with, you know, the given ability modifiers and racial traits and all that stuff, it can also give you a little bit of fodder to how you want to build that character, like, why are they this way and why do you want to change it? I kind of like the idea of where you can keep it open-minded,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, hey, maybe my character starts out like this, but eventually maybe they grow into something else and this is what they are now. Kind of an idea, you know?
Yeah.
Again, so it's not so rigid and everything. But yeah, I'm so glad that Tasha's came out and opened it up so much more. And that way you can play basically anything you want the way you want.
Right.
But yeah, when Volos came out especially, that was super
mm-hmm.
exciting to see, like, all these cool new races are totally different.
That are
from,
playable.
Like, totally different areas, you know?
Yeah.
And
I know.
Yeah.
And then, like, Mordekainen's gave us the Gith, which
yeah.
was only one thing. But then the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravenica gave us a centaur, a loxodon, a minotaur, a simic hybrid. This thing, which I've never heard of, actually, the Veldokin?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know much about those
and
ones.
And that's not even that old of a book.
No, it's not.
But, I mean, like, it's been out for a couple of years, so people have been playing it. But, yeah. And, obviously, like, every new Wizards of the Coast supplement book adds, like, a new racer class.
Mm-hmm.
And Tasha's added some really cool subclasses, too.
Right.
Which made it, I guess, not so, like, I guess the big issue is that a lot of the Wizards of the Coast stuff was based on, like, Western folklore and
mm-hmm.
history. And some of the smaller supplements plus Tasha's opened it up to expand beyond just, like, the Americas.
Right.
You know, like, you could have an Eastern type of play and a character that hails from the North Pole or whatever. And, like, why would they have that kind of societal structure
right
for them? And it just makes it easier to explain. And also what's really cool with Tasha's is that it gives you tools to change your character if you've already made it.
Yeah, that is right.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole section on that too, which I really like that as well. And that kind of ties into, for me, alignment as well.
Yeah,
where it's like, because alignment is kind of a nice, like, guideline for how your character would normally act.
Yeah.
But it makes sense for your character to evolve or change.
Yep.
Or that alignment swings over to a different area instead of lawful good. Maybe you find out I'm more neutral good after a couple experiences
yep.
and stuff, you know? And your character's figuring that kind of stuff out. Yeah, I like that they give you an option to change and be like, oh, well, here's some reasons why, or here's some hows, you know?
So do you think that some of the races as written in the player's handbook are more favorable than others? Do you think that they're pretty unbalanced, or do you think that they all have their pros and cons?
I feel like there are definitely races a lot of people tend to go towards because of the way that they're originally written. Like, sure. Obviously with like gnome and wizard, like,
yeah,
basically go hand in
perfect
hand.
yeah
because so few of the races initially had like a bonus to intelligence, you know, and you really want that for wizard. Mm-hmm. Obviously. So I think it's more of a, there's more of a combo thing than anything that's probably pretty popular that people tend to do.
Yeah.
As opposed to like specifically just a race.
Like Goliath Barbarian.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Dwarven Cleric.
Yeah.
You know, all of those classics, which obviously there's nothing wrong if you want to choose those. That's great. Mm-hmm. But they definitely make it so it's just better if you choose A and B, you know?
Yep.
They're kind of built to be that way, the way they're written, anyways.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I feel like, interestingly, for just strictly what's the most popular for, like, races, Tiefling is huge. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Critical Role had a huge impact on that.
With Jester and everything.
With Jester.
Yeah.
And then there's also, that's kind of a good example. If you go to Tiefling, and there's a huge debate about this, of like Tiefling skin color.
Oh, yeah.
Like your Tiefling, it's written, can't be blue. Like it has to be like human shades, or maybe reds.
Red.
Or maybe a hint of like purple-ish, mm-hmm. you know, but no blue. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really, guys? We're playing a game with our imagination.
Right.
Even then you're trying to limit it.
Yeah.
Like
your Tiefling can't be pink.
Yeah, like come on, y'all. If I want like a bright sunny yellow Tiefling, I'm gonna do that.
I love that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind when you have like these races that you make and you know, you build the history of them and like, oh, this is why they're this way. Like the origin of Tieflings or something to do with like demons and all that, you mm-hmm. know, that's great. But obviously it's still nice to have that flexibility of, well, mine's going to be different though. Mine's going to be special in this way.
And here's why.
Mm-hmm. And it's always nice to have your why too. I mean, there's going to be some people that are like, ah, fuck it. I'm just this because
it's fun.
It's whatever.
I
know.
Like it.
It's different.
I am a seafoam green Tiefling.
Yes. Who's afraid of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now
know.
I think that there's just so many, even without Tasha's, there was so many races and class combinations that without Tasha's, you probably could have still made what you wanted to make.
Right.
You probably would have still been a little more structured. But now you can just take any fucking race and any fucking class and put them together and go wild.
Yep, and just have your own homemade bonuses and just go from there.
Which I think is one of those things that makes 5e accessible to people.
Yeah.
Because somebody may not want to play a race that's written, for example, that historically has slaves.
Yeah.
Or that historically is always in war with another race, you know? Like, that can be pretty awkward for somebody and make you not want to play them or ever have them in your games.
Right.
And so this really gives you a chance to modify a lot of the history of the way that the races have been written.
Right.
And you can choose whether or not to add that to your own stories.
Yeah, which is super nice. Yeah, it's nice, obviously, to have. I mean, for some people, it might help to start out with, like, okay, well, here, you know, what the races that they have available, and these are, like, their initial settings, you mm-hmm. could call it, you know, if you want to go with that. Go right ahead. It might make building your first few characters a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because it's super intimidating to be like, oh, well, I want to be this, but then I have to figure out what the best pluses are if I want to have this class, or I have to have a background
yeah.
for why, you know. So I can still appreciate why they still have those initial numbers and everything.
And it's helpful.
Yeah, it definitely is, you know. I wouldn't knock against that for them having it in the first place. Or even if, like, from now on they come out with new races still and they still have, like, specific traits and abilities and stuff. I don't mind that. especially since they've already come out with, you can also change it, though, if you really want to.
Uh-huh.
Literally at any point in time.
Yep.
That's totally fine. I think, yeah, that's just, it would be a lot easier, again, for newer people to have something to just start with. And then kind of learn from
yes.
it, go from there.
Yes,
and then
I agree.
Like, oh, okay, maybe I don't want a +2 in Constitution. I don't really use that, you know?
Yeah, I think just, like, kind of the basic as written race, like, rules are helpful for new players because it's so overwhelming
yes.
choosing not only a race but a class.
Yep.
So if you're like reading about the halflings and you're like, oh, these are hobbits, that is familiar to me, that sounds fun, you know, like what would be good with that? And then that's easier for you to choose a character.
Right.
But can you imagine like reading the history of each type of race that you can play as and just trying to decide what to do because they all have their own stories?
Yeah.
So overwhelming,
it's
you know?
Lot.
You need like a basic building block structure. I think that is why like the 5e rules as written kind of race and class feature is helpful.
It is.
Because you can start there and then go somewhere else if you want to.
Right,
yeah.
And it also makes sense in the way that like, I mean, if you look at it, this is their own world that they made up.
Yeah.
Their own stories,
totally.
Their own histories. And you can definitely use those as a starting block. You don't have to stick with it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, I mean, this is just, in this world, this is how it is. Okay, that's fine. That's
mm-hmm.
great. Everybody kind of has that, where there are going to be some places where, like, oh, these people from the land of Phalanana, you know, they love their flurfa-flurfs, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Kind of everybody has that, so I still think it is a good idea to still have all of those pre-made and set for exactly that reason, you know? And, you know, there's still some people that are like, eh, it's just a lot of work to think up my own.
Yeah.
You know, I played it for years, and I'm just used to my tiefling being like this, and
yeah.
I'll just stick with it.
That's fine.
That's fine. That's great. It's do what you want, what makes you happy, and what makes you comfortable, too.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say you agree completely with all of the changes that Tasha came out with? And are there any that you're like, I don't know if that was necessary or anything, or have any
thoughts on? I don't think Tasha's, like, changed anything. Like, I don't think they said it's not like this anymore.
Right.
At least as far as I can tell.
Right.
It's more just, like, giving somebody another door to go through. So I would say no
mm-hmm.
to that question. Mostly just that they did a really good job of keeping it open-ended.
Yeah.
So it is like, hey, if you don't really like this combination, here's what you can do to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you have to change it.
Right.
It has to be different. It is much more of like giving you the option to personalize and individualize it.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah. I think what that's stemming from is this isn't race related, but the new one that just came out with like the fairies and everything.
The Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Yes, that one. That one was apparently kind of controversial when it first came out because a lot of people, it's kind of funny. You almost have like two groups where there's the people who are more so for the role play and then the other that are more so for the battle. And I guess the people who really like the battle aspect of D&D were a bit disappointed with that book
mm-hmm.
because it's much more roleplay friendly,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of geared a bit more towards that.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten it myself, so I can't confirm firsthand,
mm-hmm.
but just from what I've read, you know, some people were like, you know, that's not my thing, you know, it's just very, it's more roleplay and that's not really what I want. It's like, okay, then don't play it.
Well, the good news is that there's
or,
like so many supplemental Wizards of the Coast.
Oh my god, there are so many.
So you could just not play that one.
Yeah, there are plenty of
yeah.
them. You know, so it's like, I don't know, it's hard to please everybody. Like, you're gonna have
you're
some,
not
gonna
please
you're
everybody.
Gonna come out with something. Like, I'm sure there's stuff in Tasha's that people are like, nah, boo, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
That's fine. Everybody has an opinion. To each their own.
Do you have a race that you feel has benefited the most from the Tasha's upgrade? Or just, like, in general, like, we kind of talked about the kobold.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, kobold,
you know?
Is probably the biggest one. I don't know how many actually have a negative to your ability score,
mm-hmm.
but kobold definitely is a huge one.
I think, like, orcs have, like, negative intelligence or something.
Yeah, they probably
know?
Initially did. That wouldn't
yeah.
surprise me, you know? I don't know if really any, I think it's more of a benefit where it's like, oh man, you know, I've always wanted to be like a half-orc wizard. Nobody does that, but it's not built for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can, mm-hmm. you know? I think it's more for the ones that just a lot of people probably strayed away from strictly because of their like abilities and everything.
Yeah.
And it just didn't match up to what they wanted. So it really opened up the door for that.
Well, your first character was a gnome fighter.
Yep.
Which isn't very common. And
yep.
Was that Tasha's that helped you build her?
Oh, no. This was well before Tasha's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just went for it.
I just went for it because I'm just that kind of person where I'm like, you know, everybody expects me to be the really smart, wizardy, magic-y person, and I am not like that. I can't play smart characters to that degree.
Yep.
I just want one that she's tiny and buff and just wants to smash. So I liked throwing away, I guess, the contradictory like race and class combo because I thought that was so much more interesting.
Yeah,
to go
too.
Against the tide.
Yeah.
Like everybody is like, oh yeah, there's like, you know, you're like, again, your dwarven cleric and the elven sorcerer, I guess, and I don't know, just the basic
right.
ones that most people would usually do. So I'm just like, eh, I just wanted to have something random.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of at the time, because we didn't have Tasha's, so the DM was kind of like, well, it's going to be hard because you want to be a fighter, but you want to be like a heavy weapon fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a gnome.
Yeah.
Like heavy weapons are bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, like how's that going to work? And I'm like, I don't know. She worked out her whole life. She's got a lot of muscle,
she's
man.
She's all muscle. She's literally a square.
She's a square. She's just a brick of muscle.
Yeah.
We had to be like, well, okay. So your heavy weapons are just going to be like regular weapons to most people,
yeah.
but to you it's heavy. So I didn't get quite as many like as high of bonuses for the typical actual heavy
mm-hmm.
weapons. But, I mean, it was fine. It was more for flavor than really stats for me.
Yeah.
So, and obviously today with the upgrades and changes that they've done, or the options, I should say, that they've given, I could be a gnome who does wield actual heavy weapons.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Run around like that. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, I've never super minded some of the, like, the rigidity of the original classes and races, you know, but it's definitely nice to officially have that open up way more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure everyone can definitely appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious though, like I want to find a poll of the most popular races, like when the first 5e book came out versus
what?
To like
the combo
today. Yeah. Like, how much has that changed ever since they
I'm
opened up
too.
So much more? Oh, another thing that I kind of want to bring up too. So we all know, if you listen to us a lot, I love Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And there's a Kickstarter I'm following where they don't have necessarily, what is it? They don't have alignments and they don't have, like, the idea of race is a little bit different to them. So what they have is ethos instead of alignment.
Okay.
Where it changes and evolves for better or for worse based on the actions of your character.
Is there like a meter?
I don't have like too many details on it. That's basically all they say on there, but I imagine that's more what it is. Where it's like, oh, if you do an action of like, oh, okay, kill the kid instead of save the kid, you know, that's gonna make you change a little bit in a certain direction for that little,
like,
but
that.
It doesn't mean that you're evil,
yeah.
you know, strictly, but it's just, it's a little bit more loose instead of just any of those specific squares.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then they have ancestry and culture.
Mm.
The concept of race is replaced by two tandem concepts, a
that
character's inherited physical characteristics, which
mm-hmm.
is your ancestry,
mm-hmm.
and then their learned behaviors, their culture. So that's what you have. You have your ancestry of, like, this is what I physically look like because of my mom and dad, you know?
Yep.
And then you have your culture, the way I was raised. This is why I am the way I am. You know, this is why I have this kind of, I guess, background, if you want to say.
Yeah,
this is
awesome.
Why I have these abilities. And I like that idea. I like that that's more in line with what Wizards of the Coast seems to be trending towards.
They're
anymore.
Trying to get there, yeah. I think that'd be fun to play. Our current campaign, that's fairly new. 3 out of 4 of us are chaotic neutral. And I think we're all kind of like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's different for each one.
It is. And I've kind of been thinking about it, like, I think I've decided I'm just going to kind of see what happens and go from there. And, but I would love, I think the idea of an ethos is a lot more interesting.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like my character is already starting to make decisions that may not make me that alignment. And I also didn't really want to get pinned down by an alignment.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping to just, like, not lean into that very hard and just see what I become.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting, too. And I don't know if this was brought up before in a previous episode, but it might be interesting to almost be like, for now, my character is kind of neutral until I play my character and encounter situations. And then I'll be like, oh, okay, I guess I'm, today, a little chaotic.
Yeah.
We'll see how I am.
It's hard because, you know, it depends on how, the thing with alignment is, like, it depends how hard you play it, I guess.
Yeah.
So
how hard you stick to it, how consistently.
Yeah, like, if you say you're true neutral, but then you do something that's chaotic, somebody might call you out on it.
Right.
Or even just, like, it helps me decide how to play my character, like, what I would do.
Right.
So it kind of helps to know, like, which way I want to go, but maybe I have a difficult decision that I make, and I'm like, ooh, that wasn't chaotic neutral.
Yep.
That was actually pretty lawful good, so maybe I'm more chaotic good.
Right.
Or whatever it is. But I think the idea of, like, a meter going back and forth is a lot more flexible.
Yeah, but then, like, that block
mm-hmm.
that you're stuck in.
Exactly.
Because, like you said, you get called out on that if it's like, oh, okay, well, I decide to do this in this situation. You're like, oh, would a lawful good do that?
Right, exactly.
Well, I mean,
no.
Every circumstance is different.
Yeah.
There's so many factors you have to take into consideration. Like, I don't think there's a single human being that, like, always sticks to just one
definitely
block
not.
Of that forever. No. It's like impossible. You know, it's unrealistic.
But I think that argument is more that it's an average.
Yeah.
So whatever you do the most of is what your alignment would be.
Right.
But anyways.
But still, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any more examples of, like, unconventional characters that before Tasha's wouldn't have really worked that we've tried to make?
Oh, man. I'm sure there are some. I know I did a complicated character where I was an Azimar trapped inside the body of a lizard folk.
That was pretty fun.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
And they were technically a cleric. That was a whole thing.
Yep.
I can't think of any other ones.
I don't know if it was unconventional, but, like, the character I played for our one-shot, Murder at Roselake, I was a half-orc warlock.
Yep.
And I actually chose the Gothic lineage from the new Unearthed Arcana. That's one coming out.
That was pretty cool.
Which was, like, a hexblood. Mm-hmm. So it was basically, like, a hag.
Yeah.
Warlock, half-orc.
Yeah.
And, you know, his whole thing is, like, his patron is the Lady Evening Glory, and she's all about, like, love and death. But he wasn't, like, evil-aligned.
Right.
So it was interesting. Yeah, I should play him a little bit more and see what he turns into. But definitely not a traditional build by any means, you
right.
know? A half-orc warlock isn't the way that somebody would normally go.
No, that's not very common, indeed.
Because you need all that wisdom stat, and that's not very common for a half-orc, so.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, this is more of the class thing, but, like, warlocks tend to sound like they're evil too,
right?
You know, like, oh yeah, I made this blood pact with this, like, great creature of unknown, and mm-hmm. it gives me power, and that tends to give you the idea of, like, oh, okay, someone's a little power hungry.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
probably bad. Yeah, I don't know, it's definitely interesting about the races and how they're definitely changing it and everything. They're trying to get rid of, like, those stereotypes that we brought up. You know, because it's really no reason for that.
It's not. I agree.
It's just
harmful
very,
in the end.
Yeah, exactly. It's just old and we're all over that, you know. We're looking forward, not backwards.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous. And I like that that's reflecting it, because I know that this is a game that we all make up,
mm-hmm.
but there's still that underlying, like, there is a bit of reality in everything that you play. You know, I always feel like you bring a bit of yourself, whether you realize it or not, into your character.
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's going to be some things that might be a little bothersome when you're like, oh, well, I do want to play a drow, but how they've been written as for all these years.
Or how do you play a male drow?
Yeah.
Like, even
like,
that.
Especially that,
yeah.
you know? So,
it's tricky.
It is tricky, but Yeah, and they're getting better at it. So.
And Tasha's, I think, is the perfect supplement for that kind of stuff. Because it gives you all of the answers.
Yeah,
it does. It basically just throws all the rules out the window and just lets you do what you want.
Or more like, the rules are here if you want.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you know what? Let's open up all of these other doors that we kept tightly shut because we thought that was unnecessary and not real. That's
the sky's the limit. If you can imagine it, you can be it.
Right, exactly. Oh, a random thing I wanted to ask you. So of all the races that they already have, what's another race that you want to see?
Didn't we talk about this already?
I think so. That might have been actually... It's been so long.
Yeah.
We did bring that up. More than likely, whatever.
So you talked about, like, plant people.
Yes.
Which is cool. Like, maybe even more of, like, a druid subclass or something. I guess that would be more of a race, though. I don't know. And what I had said in the episode where we talked about this, which I'm pretty sure is the Races and Classes episode that we've recorded, I said, like, a wolf person. They have, like...
It's not changeling. It's something... They have something...
Werewolf people.
Yeah.
But I wanted something more like a tabaxi, but with wolves. You know? Because, like, the new Wild Beyond the Witchlight, there's, like, werepeople. And we have owl people.
Yeah, we have a little rabbit.
We already have two bird people before that. We have lizard folk and dragonborn. I mean, we have pretty much a turtle. You know, we have pretty much everything else. I don't know what it would really add to the story, but I think it'd be cool. Like a bipedal wolf slash dog person would be pretty cute.
Yeah, definitely. Not like an actual werewolf, but just a little half and half kind of a thing.
No.
But yeah, I just didn't know if there were maybe other ideas, because they have so many races, and it's like, man, at what point do they just cover everything?
Well, a lot of it too. Yeah, a lot of it too is people are just making it and making it fit into the rules, and then Wizards of the Coast are just playtesting it.
Right.
And they're just like, okay, go for it.
Oh, more underwater type races.
Oh, we did talk about that, yeah.
Yeah, instead of just like, I know there's like Triton and everything, but I don't know.
A jellyfish person.
Yeah, like jellyfish people or crustacean or something like that. I think that could be expanded a lot too.
You would kind of be pigeonholed into playing an underwater campaign with something like that, but it'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Just be the one where you have, like, a tank of water on your head.
Yeah, exactly. You'd be a sponge person or a starfish person.
Could be coral some kind. Some kind of clownfish. I don't know. Like,
be fun.
Fish people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... They're gonna have so many more, and opening that door, I think, is gonna really just bring so many more people in. Like, already, everybody basically... And their mother plays D&D anymore, but this is really gonna help, I think. This was definitely a very good decision that they made.
I can't believe it took us this long to even get fairies.
I know! I was surprised by that, too. I was like, how was that not, like, a core thing?
Well, they're just such a common, like, fantasy character.
Yeah.
That it's surprising that we haven't had them yet in the game until Wild Beyond the Witchlight, so...
Yeah, and they're usually, like, as monsters used as, like, tricksters, you know?
Or as the fae or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Kinda, which was another stereotype.
Yeah. So clumped together, like, all in one, so.
Yeah, that is surprising that it did take so long. But it's okay. They're here now. It's fine. It's great.
Yep, and we'll get more. I'm sure, like we said, whatever you can imagine has either already been thought of or is being made. Or is going to be made. So maybe we will see some water people and some bipedal canines.
Also canines.
Some plants.
Yeah, I've never play tested any of their stuff when they were like just trying it out.
Yeah, well, technically the Gothic Lineages is playtest.
Oh, that's true.
It's official play content, but it's still being play tested. So
is that the first play test material you've ever done before like an official release?
I want to say no, but I can't think of the other examples, so maybe.
Yeah, I know for sure. I've never really had the opportunity to try that. I'm kind of curious. I like what kind of feedback you must give, you know, because that's got to be hard to figure out how to, well, actually, maybe not so much anymore since everything is, like, so open-ended.
And I think that they just run it in, like, professional games and see how it goes.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably how they do it. Yeah. What do you guys do? Have you ever playtested any of this stuff? Are you currently? Do you have opinions on any of what we said? Do you agree? Do you like what Tasha's did? Do you not? What are your reasons?
Do you have crazy race-class combinations that you were able to make with some of the new adjustments to the rules? Let us know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. This was just another topic about races. Hopefully, this was kind of fun to listen to, maybe even a little bit informative as well. You can find us at...
So you can find us at Instagram. That's our most commonly used platform, Potions of Potpourri. You can email us at gmail, potionsofpotpourri.com. We are on Facebook as well. Feel free to reach out to us. Let us know what you think. Follow us. Creep on us. Go look at some of our content. We post a lot of interesting stuff related to the show and the game and our personal lives and all of that good stuff.
So this has been Keisha.
And this is Kayla.
Thanks again, guys. And stay tuned for our next episode.
Bye. Bye.